Front Page Dramas present Prince Meets Girl. This week's Front Page drama, Prince Meets Girl, is a radio dramatization of a true life story by the same name, which appears in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world, which comes to you every week at no extra cost as part of your Hearst Sunday newspaper. This is a story of boy meets girl, the oldest and yet, and the girl, formula in stage, screen, and radio. In our story, however, the boy happens to be a wealthy prince of royal blood, and the girl, the beautiful but poor daughter of a lowly tailor. This in itself is enough to complicate things, but when you throw in the austere, phlegmatic members of Britain's Royal Colonial Office, a firm but bewildered college dean, and a few irate royal Mohammedan relatives, then the fun begins. But let's get down to our story. The opening scene, the study of the dean at Balliol College of Oxford University. Colonel Smythe Cobden Smythe of His Majesty's British Crown, Agents for Colonies, is calling on Dr. Dorward Wembley, Dean of Men.
I shall be more than happy to welcome His Highness Prince Mahmood to our historic old walls, Colonel Smythe.
Colonel Smythe Cobden Smythe, Doctor.
Oh, yes, yes, to be sure, Colonel Smythe Cobden Smythe. How stupid of me.
As you know, most of these wealthy colonial princes are somewhat a problem to us, Dr. Wembley. However, I'm glad to say such is not the case with His Highness Prince Mahmood.
I'm very glad to hear that, Colonel.
I've raised the boy since he was sent here to us at the age of six. I've watched over him like a mother.
A father,
seeing that his food was right and that his surroundings were proper, taking care of his teeth, seeing to it that his tonsils, adenoids, and whatnot have been attended to.
Yes.
And last but not least, strict adherence to matters of morals, social obligations, and strict adherence to his rank and religion.
Dear, dear, quite a responsibility, Colonel.
Quite, and I flatter myself to think I have fulfilled my great responsibility to the very letter. He's now 18 and must enter college. Being an old Oxford man myself, I decided he should be placed here.
Exactly, Colonel, and you may rest assured he will have the same careful moral and spiritual guidance here that he has received from you.
You will find him a most intelligent, reasonable boy with no vicious traits. One with an excellent scholastic record.
That's good.
He has an allowance of £50 per month. And out of this, mind you, he has saved enough to buy himself a motor car.
Yes, but
he enjoys driving. Most careful, law-abiding, and won't cause any trouble with the car.
Most reassuring, Colonel. Is there anything else you wish to add?
In placing him in quarters, be sure his companion does not imbibe in any alcoholic beverages of any kind.
Of course.
Furthermore, no pipe smoking. Both are forbidden by the Quran. He may, however, have an occasional cigarette. Prince is allowed those.
I shall be most careful in the selection of a companion in quarters for him.
Very good, Doctor. His Highness will report here tomorrow morning punctually. I shall leave everything in your care.
Thank you.
Well, I must be getting along now.
Quite so. Now, Your Highness, I trust you'll find everything to your liking. So suppose I leave you and Robert Brewster to become better acquainted. I'm sure you'll get along very well together.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Wembley. I'm sure we will.
And that goes for me, too, Doctor. Well, Your Highness, can I give you a hand with anything?
Do you mind if I ask you to do me a favor, Mr. Brewster?
Not at all, Your Highness. What is it?
It's just that. Your Highness, I mean. The chaps at prep school called me Trenny.
Trenny?
Yes, it's short for Trengenu. That's the principality where I come from. They wanted to call me Mommy. That's an abbreviation of my name, Mahmood. But I didn't like that so well. So.
Okay, then it's Trenny. And I'm Bob to you.
Okay. I say, that's an awfully expressive word, okay. Okay, Bob.
Say, you catch on quickly. And although I'm a Rhodes Scholar and not supposed to use American slang, there are a few expressions I just can't help using. But I don't want to influence you.
Influence me? Well, I'll jolly well be influenced. I like shortcuts in speech, and you American chaps do very well with them.
Well, that's well. I don't mind telling you, I was a little bit wary when the dean told me I was going to share these rooms with the real prince. But we're going to get along very well together.
Oh, that's swell. You see, I'm catching on. Now I'll get along with my unpacking. This is my cupboard, isn't it?
Yes, and by the way, I was just on the way to the tailor shop when you arrived. Got to have some pressing done. And I thought with you unpacking, you might have something to go.
Oh, that's awfully decent of you. As a matter of fact, I have. These things have been in the bag for a couple of days. Do you suppose I could have this dark suit sponged and pressed in time for this evening?
Sure, old Blencoat is very good work. He's prompt, too. His daughter is a favorite of mine. She's a nice girl and quite often obliges me with a rush job when I need a suit done. Now, that's the place to go to. It's right off the lower end of the quadrangle.
Oh, that's a help. Well, here now. Here's the suit, if you don't mind taking it over.
Not at all, Trenny. I'll be glad to. See you later.
Bye, Del. Thanks awfully. Okay.
Oh, hello, Mr. Brewster. What can I do for you?
Just a couple of suits sponged and pressed and, as usual.
I know, in a hurry. Oh, you Americans.
This time, I plead not guilty on the delay. I have a new roommate in my diggings, and it took time for introductions, getting acquainted and so forth, and that's why I'm late.
A new roommate? Is this his suit?
You just have to look at it to tell that. Materials and tailoring like that are way out of my class.
A wealthy chap, eh?
Yes, in more ways than one. He's got a wealth of personality, a million-dollar smile, and a rich voice that sounds like music. What's more, he's a prince, and let me add, one prince of a chap.
Great Scott, what a description. He really must be nice.
He is. Wait until you see him. He's swell.
Well, the way you go on, I'll have to see him. From your description, he appears too good to be true.
Say, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll let him come over and pick up these suits.
Oh.
He'll like that, too. Change about, you know. I deliver them, and he'll call for them. I'll ask him to come over here about tea time.
Thanks. It's quite a long time since I've seen a real prince. And thanks for getting us a royal customer.
Don't mention it, Joyce. Don't forget to do a good job and have them ready by tea time now. Bye-bye.
Cheerio. I'll have them.
Just as the autumn sun cast its long shadows across the historic ivy-covered buildings of Oxford, the young Prince Mahmud walked into the little tailor shop. As he opened the door, the little bell tinkled, summoning a slim blonde girl just about his own age. She looked at the prince in the most proper way imaginable. He tripped over the rug and dropped his hat, which caused him to smile in embarrassment, a most infectious smile. She smiled back most delightfully. Then there was a slight period of silence. Their eyes met and held each other for one fleeting moment. And then the prince found his voice.
How do you do? I'm here... Well, you have... Well, I mean... Well, the fact is, I've called for two suits. One for my friend, Mr. Brewster. The other's mine.
Why, yes, of course. Two suits.
Yes, that's right. Two suits. Are they ready? Mr. Brewster said they would be about tea time.
Yes, they are ready. You must be the... Well, Mr. Brewster's new roommate.
Yes, that's right. And you must be... Miss Blencoe.
Yes, that's right. You're a... Well, Mr. Brewster told me all about you.
That's funny. He told me about you. He was quite right, too.
Quite right? What do you mean?
Well, how nice you were. How good. Well, your description...
That's strange. I think so, too.
You mean what he said about you?
Oh, no. What he said about you. Your description.
Well, just what did he say about me?
Many nice things. They're true, too.
Well, how could he? He only met me today.
Well, I've only just met you, too.
And...
I know they're true.
That's funny. That's how I feel, too.
How?
Well, you know, hearing nice things about... But only meeting you now for the first time and realizing they're all true. I say, look here, have you had your tea?
Oh, no, not yet. It's hardly time.
Well, look here, I mean... Dash it all... Well, what I mean is... Well, why couldn't you have tea with me?
Oh, I couldn't do that, Your Highness. After all, you're a prince.
Oh, come now, that shouldn't make any difference.
Oh, but it does. I'm only a...
Oh, you're a... You're a charming, lovely girl.
But hardly company.
Oh,
but...
now, look here, that doesn't matter. I mean, my being a prince, that's only a title. Brewster says there's something above titles. He says it's the person himself that counts. That's the true spirit of democracy. Brewster says...
I can't go to tea with you.
Oh, no. He didn't.
Oh, no, but I did. It wouldn't be proper.
Oh, come now, why not? There's no harm in tea together. Say at that old tea shop on the London Road. Please do. I'm sure Mr. Brewster would improve. Oh, come. Just this once.
Very well, then. Just this once. Wait until I tell Tommy to come in and take care of the shop.
All right, Del. I've got my motor just up the drive.
All right. You go out and I'll join you in a jiffy.
And that innocent little tea party started all the trouble. Yes, it's the old story, boy meets girl. They fall in love. And a few months later, in early spring, parked in the prince's car on a quaint old English country lane...
Oh, now, darling, there's absolutely nothing to it. We're in love, We know our own minds and we want to marry. Well, we've just got to make our parents see the light.
I know, dearest, but I'm afraid it isn't going to be that easy. My father's of the old English school. Each must marry in his own class, he says. And your people would never consent. And above all, there's the crown agents for the colony.
Oh, they can all go to blazes. We love each other more than anything else in the world. We're going to get married.
You know I love you, dearest, and I want to marry you. But it's all so impossible. They won't let us.
Oh, now look. Now here's my plan. We'll announce our engagement. Then we'll sit down and write a long letter asking my brother's consent. We'll send him that nice photograph of you, and in the letter we'll explain everything. We'll win him over. You just wait and see. Oh, please, darling, take the ring and say yes.
I will. And no matter what happens, I love you with all my heart. Nothing will ever change me.
And that quaint little pastoral love scene just brought on the storm. And what a storm!
This marriage must not take place. My brother is only 20. He does not know his own mind. He cannot appreciate the disastrous consequences of this step he proposes to take. Break off the engagement and punish him by sending him home at once.
This is outrageous. Absolutely infamous. I have ordered this engagement broken. His allowance stopped. His motor car confiscated. He will be ordered home under escort on the first boat.
You cannot continue at Oxford. Your studies are over. You have made a grave mistake. You must leave for home. The girl will be severely reprimanded and removed from the college grounds.
Well, give these youngsters a chance. This is the 20th century, not medieval times. Love does not stop at any barriers. Let them enjoy the God-given right to life, love, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Joyce, you've disgraced me. You leave your aunt's home in the north of England and never see this man again.
Calling, London calling. The young Prince Mahmud, who disappeared from the Peninsula and Orient liner yesterday, is still missing.
My lords of the council, I beseech you as your loyal subject and princely ruler, as Prince Mahmud's uncle, I too have been reared and educated in England. Therefore, I am more fitted to speak than the prince's elder brother. First, Prince Mahmud has been educated here in England. Furthermore, he has developed a mode of life and a sense of personal freedom and democracy. If he returns to his native land, marries one of his own blood who knows nothing of the world abroad, he most certainly will be unhappy. I have met Miss Joyce Blencoe and admire her immensely. Mahmud's aged mother, my sister, is in favor of the marriage. Why should there be any objection?
It was this eloquent plea by the prince's uncle that won over all the objecting parties. The young prince, who had escaped en route, came home out of hiding, returned to London, married the girl of his choice, and they are living happily, and we hope, forever afterward. You have just heard Prince Meets Girl, a radio dramatization of a story by the same name which appears in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, the magazine with the largest circulation in the world. Join the millions of Americans who each Sunday find the maximum of reading enjoyment in the entertaining, educational, and up-to-the-minute stories, articles, and feature fiction by the world's best writers featured in every issue of the American Weekly, the magazine distributed each Sunday with your Hearst Sunday newspaper.